So, a rich feast of Bible readings today for us. St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, and then also our gospel for today, Matthew chapter 22. And of course, this weekend marks the feast of St. Luke. So now may I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The resource questions which appear most weeks in the online worship, here are the two for this week. How aware are you of the influences in your life, past or present? How would you feel if someone saw you as a person of influence? Now, these reflection questions are aimed with St. Paul in mind, who wrote our epistle, which will follow us for the next 5 weeks or so. But in choosing to remember today also St. Luke, those questions work equally well for him. And yet two people less alike could hardly be found. Now, last year and the year before, for St. Luke, we gathered in our altar circle not only to receive and share bread and wine, but also for some to receive healing oils and prayers. It was a practice deeply moving and much appreciated, and this year we cannot offer that. So in a moment of stillness, let us each think of people who would have asked for such healing prayer and pray for them, for healing of body, of mind, of spirit. A moment of stillness. Amen. Returning to our theme, though, of influence, I did some research on this a good number of years ago, and I want to share with you only the maths bit of that research, because it excited me and excites me still, and I'm sure will excite you also. Did you know or realise that when power is shared, it shrinks? So if two of you, or three, or more out there shared some power, you'd all get a fraction of the whole. The same, of course, is true of attention. A parent or a friend or a chaplain cannot give the same amount of attention to several people at the same time. So for power, I hope you are good at fractions and dividing. 10 people sharing power will each get a tenth of that power. However, influence works in the opposite way. When influence is shared, it grows and it multiplies by the number of people it is shared among. So all of you out there, and me too, share influence, it'll be so much more far-reaching and effective than if I was the only person of influence. And once again, love acts the same way, in that the more it is shared, the more there seems to be. And I mean, of course, proper love, not some of its substitutes. So this time, we need to be good at multiplying. 10 people sharing influence will add up to 10 times the amount of influence you started with. So Christ shares his ministry and lay vocation is born, partly because of this phenomenon. And how amazing is that? And we see that in practice in the Gospel reading for St. Luke. But in our readings, 1 Thessalonians and Matthew, we observe in a close reading things that would be good for us to take note of. So in the epistle, we have Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, who all share the sending of this letter, and they are recognised in the early church as people of influence. And they are influencing these Thessalonians through this letter, but also the recipients of this letter, the Thessalonians, are in their turn influencers, in that they influence the Macedonians, who very likely also then become influencers in their turn. So chapter 1, verse 3, your work of faith, your labour of love. So there are instruments of influence. And then verse 7, you became an example to the Macedonians. So influence then here in this reading, face to face, but also through letter writing, also through acts of service, and also through being role models. So the question I began with, who are the influencers and what type of influencer are you? There are some choices. In the Gospel, Matthew chapter 22, Jesus, of course, an influencer of the Christian faith, or it would never have survived this long. But wait, that is only part of the story. We need to add what we read in 1 Thessalonians, and we need to add the intervening centuries in also. Note also, and alarmingly from the Gospel, there are other influencers around and active, not just Jesus. There is Herod and the Herodians, who influence and work by intimidation and violence and the promise of power. There are the Pharisees and their disciples, who also work by intimidation and making knowledge and access to God exclusive. And then the emperor, who's only mentioned because of the coinage, but he is an influencer at a distance. So Herod and the Pharisees and the emperor all have power, and they don't want to share or lose out on the power they have. And that explains some of the modus. But they also have influence, and that makes them dangerous. Influence wins hearts and minds for good or for evil. And we need to have that more upfront in our minds, in our intercessions, than perhaps we do. And we need also to realise that if good people don't influence, then less good people will. And alongside the theology of vocation and of service, that will surely motivate us to all sorts of acts of influence, whether it be to speak out on behalf of the voiceless, whether it be to work tirelessly for justice on behalf of those who cannot do that for themselves, such as the marginalised and whole people groups who've been disempowered by being made stateless. Or whether it be to share our faith with those who have neither faith nor hope. To draw all those threads together then, once again in a moment of stillness, we've seen some influences in the Epistle to the Thessalonians. We've seen some influences for good and for not so good in the Gospel. But for us, who are or have been the influences in your life? And what influence are you aware that you have or have had? And what influence could or might you have, after some more prayerful reflection on the call of God in your life as a baptized member of his family and of his kingdom? And may you be blessed as you continue those reflections, and if opportunity arises, indeed take those into some fruitful conversations. Amen.